What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ask Paul. It's the only podcast out there where you get to ask Paul questions and Paul will answer your questions. Again, there's a lot of information floating all over the internet and all these social media, the TikToks, the 3 minutes of fame and people blowing up with clicks and getting really popular. But the knowledge is maybe not there. No disrespect. But you know what? With age, with experience, with being on different committees comes some knowledge. So we like to share that knowledge here at Ask Paul. So if you've got a question about the National Electrical Code or electricity in general or something that you just want my opinion on, do me a favor. Go over to paulabernathy.com. P-A-U-L-A-B-E-R-N-A-T-H-Y. Just all one word there. .com. And you can submit your question to me and get those answers that you've been asking without having to worry about somebody feeding you a bunch of BS. I will back up anything that I tell you with code references and solid information. That's what our goal is here. And that's why I created it. Got tired of seeing all these things on the TikToks and the Twitters and the Facebooks and the YouTubes and all with people saying things that were like gospel. And I was like, dude, that's not true. So anyway, check it out. And if I don't know the answer, trust me, I have a collection of very knowledgeable friends and we will get you the answer. That's what this is about. Finally, a resource that can get you the answers you want in the electrical industry. All right. So as always today, we're going to do a question that was submitted to me and it's probably less, as I look at it now, it's probably less of a technical question, but it's going to be important for all you folks out there who are studying the National Electrical Code. Maybe you're preparing for an electrical exam and you really want to get more knowledge on the NEC or you feel stumped. I'm going to give you some things, some tips today that might help you focus. Okay. And trust me. Okay. I will tell you this right now. This is not going to be a fast tracks type of, it's not going to be my sales pitch, although fast tracks is the best way. Okay. Federally protected name, fast tracks. It's a system, educational system that I created using different tools, research tools, online documents, question and answer. You know, it's a whole process of learning the code, but that's not what this is about. I'm not going to push that down your throat. Okay. If you're interested in the Fast Tracks program, this is the only time I'll say that. Go check it out on our website. Just go to electricalcodeacademy.net and you'll find the link on there for the Fast Tracks program. Or if you want to shortcut it, just go to masterthenec.com and any of the links on there will take you to the Fast Tracks program. If you really want to learn the NEC in and out, be more productive as an owner, as a leader, preparing for code exams, inspectors, engineer, whatever. Check it out. Okay. All right. So now let's get into today's question. So today's question was sent to me and it says, quote, "Hey, I've watched your videos for some time now. As of right now, I have an exam in the state of Minnesota coming up soon. I actually have taken 3 years of trade school, then relocated. Okay. I have been studying and I know a good bit of how to navigate the code, but curious if there are any tips you could provide so I can better understand what I am studying. Okay. I struggle with things like when the question is asking something I know where that is or the general area, but what I don't like or feel good about is when I have no idea on something, I go into the index and end up on a wild goose chase. And I know that takes way too long. I'm not sure how to avoid that." Okay. Good question. And it's a question that plagues a lot of people. So the number one thing that I tell people all the time, and you've heard me, so this, if you hear me, you're going to roll your eyes or kind of wrap back in your head about right now, is reading comprehension. The number one thing that I tell students that they have to get back, you can learn the code. Look, it's not brain surgery here. Now, you might not know everything you read. You might read it and say, what the crap does that mean? But you know what the code portion is, so you answer the question, but you don't really know because you might have never done it. The moment that somebody explains it to you, you'll be like, oh, I get it. But there's a lot of stuff in that code book, even for me, that I'm like, dude, what is that code panel trying to say? Because I might not have ever done that. I can tell you the code on it, but I haven't physically done it. And you're going to see through your electrical career, there is many things within this National Electrical Code that you do not touch. Your niche, you're a residential guy, you're not going to be dealing with a lot of parts of this code, okay? You're probably never going to deal with anything in Chapter 5, maybe very limited. Six is going to be, Chapter 6 is limited. You'll probably do swimming pools, but other than that, probably very limited. So your focus is going to be really core in the chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's where your core is going to be. That's where you should be. Because if you need to go to any of those other chapters, then you just go where you need to go. No sense in trying to memorize that. So at the end of the day, reading comprehension is the biggest killer of anybody understanding something. They read a question on an exam, because it sounds like you're studying for an exam, is that they read a question and realize that a lot of questions that we write for exams or for study, we're going to put some fluff in there. And you have to be able to dissect what's fluff and what's really legitimate for the question. What are we asking? I might throw you a lot of stuff in there, but that's not what the question's asking. So the first thing that my advice to you is, the only way that you get better at reading comprehension, okay, folks, listen to this. You can flip through the code all day long. You can read the code and try to pontificate on, or maybe that's not it. Maybe you can try to be Notre Dame-us on what may or may not be on your electrical exam, but you're killing a lot of time. You're just flipping through with the hope that you're covering what might be on an exam. And then you're hoping your mind remembers it all. So the easiest way to study for an exam, if you're going to do it that way, and you're not going to use a structured program, is to find a bunch of exam type questions. Now, I teach this method. Again, I said I wouldn't talk a lot about the fast tracks, but if you've attended any of my Wednesday night sessions where I stream them and you can see it, and of course you can join me every Wednesday night, you get to watch. You don't get to participate, but you get to watch on our YouTube channels, LinkedIn channels, and all that. When we're doing a Q&A session, you'll notice that, and people tell me a lot of times, they go, Paul, y'all take 5 minutes on a question. You don't get that length of time on an exam. And I usually tell them, you don't understand what we're doing. You don't understand it. This is all part of my program. This is how I train people. So you either like how my training or you don't, you go somewhere else. I really don't care. But if you want to learn what I've found works in over 30 years of teaching students to remember it and retain it, that's a difference. Just passing an exam is one thing, but to retain it and remember it and understand the fundamentals of it, that takes a distinct structure and a plan of attack. And that is to dissect a question and start learning what is and what is not in the index to save you from wasting your time. So when I take a question, so my first advice to you, first one, we got plenty, but first one is to get a hold of some really good questions, whether they're in exam prep questions, whether they're in a book you buy or online or whatever. And even a bad question is still a good question, because if you realize that it's wrong or it's written wrong or there's a problem with it, the fact that you identified that there's a problem, it's a good thing, because you're learning, okay? You're adapting to it. So take a question, literally dissect a question out. Now, I have been known in the past with a question to have two colored highlighters, and I'll tell a student, and it's hard to do that when you're doing it online, but when I used to do the ones where they would come to my classes and do it, I would say, okay, I want you to take your highlighter and I want you to highlight the portion of the question that you think is pertinent to answering your question or needed to answer the question, and highlight the part that you think is a fluff. And now look at it and see the structure of how this question is, so that you can start training your mind to identifying the roots of the question. Now, I have a video out on how to identify the root of a question that you can, you know, look for over on YouTube. Just type for root of an electrical question or root of an electrical exam question. You'll probably come up. Or you can stroll through my videos, which again, by the way, you won't see a lot of my videos anymore available to the public, because all of my stuff now only goes to subscription. You have to be a member and subscribe. It's $9.99 a month or less than $120 a year. And you can get access to all of my videos and podcasts that are technical related. over on our website, electricalcodeacademy.net. All right, so I take questions with students and we literally dissect it. So people ask me, why is your exam night? Why are y'all spending 5 minutes on a question when you might only have 2 minutes on an exam? You don't start worrying about speed until your last 2 weeks before an exam. Then you start doing exam questions. And of course, our students have a big portfolio of over 800 exam questions in our program. Then you can start dissecting it, but you can then start timing yourself with a timer. Take your phone, put it on a 2-minute timer. Once you get the question, hit the timer. And the thing about a lot of these phones is once you pass the time, it will still keep counting. So it'll go from positive to a negative value so that you actually see how long you spend on a question. That allows me to know that where was my problem with this question once I finally solve it? Was it my comprehension? Was reading it confusing me? Also, when we're studying and I'm telling you to take 5 minutes on a single question, it's because I'm wanting you to get familiar with the index. I want you to look at every term in there that could be what's called a root term. So if you see something in there about, you know, that's talking about receptacles, then you know that you're going to look up receptacles in the index. And you're going to really scan that to see if anything pertains to what this question is talking about. So it does take longer. I will tell you, there is no holy grail. Tom Henry makes a neat key index guide, which is all these terms that are cross-referenced so you know where to find things in the code. But most places will never let you take that to an exam. And the index is not going to have everything. Some things are going to be easier to find in the table of contents. Some things are going to be able to find, like in motors, by looking at the pictogram at the beginning, the illustration, and put you in whether or not it's overload protection in 430.32 or single conductor sizing in 430.22. All of that's in that pictogram if that's something that you can shortcut to get you where you need to go. But there is a process and there's a manner of how I teach, and some people like it, some people don't. I really don't care. That's how I do it, and I ain't changing for nobody. So it is to take a question and start to dissect it to the point where you can examine every important key word that would in there. And then once you get the answer, once you find the answer, then you cross-reference it and to see which one of those code sections come up in the different words that you were looking up at in the index to see if, oh, okay, well, this answer was 210.8, whatever. Now let me go look under receptacles and see if there's anything that matches that code reference and see if there's anything in there that could have gotten me there. It's easier to explain for me to show you when we're in a class session. So do a favor. Do yourself a favor. Join me on a Wednesday night, about 7:30, I think we start. And join me, and you can at least watch over in the free view. You're not one of our members of the Fast Tracks, but you can join us and watch. But remember that once that show's over, it disappears. It's only alive. You can only come live. After that, I get rid of them. We don't leave them up there. Okay. I'm not interested in growing YouTube. I'm not interested in getting clicks. I don't really care about that, right? That type of thing. Or, you know, people, you know, that type of subscribers and whatnot. It doesn't really matter to me. All right. So once it's over, we just get rid of it. All right. So that's the first thing. Reading comprehension. So it sounds to me like you read something, you get to the end of it, and you're just not comprehending it. So you need to work on that reading comprehension. Okay. So the next tip I will give you is developing a method of study. And that is called the three-wave method that I've used, and I've used for over 20 plus years. And it's not novel idea type of concept. And that is to study in three waves. Now, rather than go into over detail about it, I will tell you there is a free video of that over on my YouTube channel. Just go look under the electrical exam three-wave method, and you'll find it. Or just look, go into my playlist over on the YouTube channel. You'll see it. If you're a subscriber, it'll be over in your membership area. You can find it. But at the end of the day, it teaches you how to take an exam in waves to optimize your time. So when you study through the code book and you study and you're just randomly studying, you're hoping that you absorb knowledge, but you have no idea what's going to be on an exam, right? But you're just absorbing knowledge. If you go into it with code questions that require you to go to the NEC so that you have to flip through it, that's a better method of study. That's a more effective method of study. Now, when you're doing these questions on an exam, what you want to do is remember that you do the three-wave method. You go through and answer what you know right off the bat, minute or less. Just answer it, mark it, go on to the next. If you spend more than a minute and you're still not sure and you still can't find it, then you mark it, and usually electronically you mark it. You mark it and you move on to the next question. You do not dwell on it. You move on. You'll get those in the next wave. And you keep on going through. So now once you're done that first wave, you'll have answered a certain number that you feel very confident based on your studying and your learning, and it just were low-hanging fruit type of questions. So what you've done now is bought you a lot of time, because each question has a specific amount of time attributed to it on an exam. And if a question is a two-minute question and I answer it in 10 seconds, then I've got a minute and 50 seconds to be able to put to another question that's tougher than this one. And the more you do that in that first wave, you're going to build up a bank of time. Because people usually run out of time on an exam when they're not prepared. And if you have to go to the index almost on every question, you'll never finish your exam. You just don't have enough time. That's why a structured training plan works. As we're trying to teach your mind the things that you need to know, the basics, the low-hanging fruit stuff, and to teach you the method of how to find things, that's why we dissect a question, so that when it does come time to take that exam, you'll be able to do the three-wave method, then you'll feel confident when you take the exam. Okay? Never go in the exam thinking, oh my God, I hope I pass. I mean, it sounds mental, but if you've done the work, you've done the preparation, man, you should be going there thinking, I'm going to nail this, and this is not going to be an issue. Dude, just give me my license right now, bro. Just give it to me, because I've nailed this thing. In fact, the only question here might be if I'm going to break a state record, if I'm going to get the highest score ever in the history of this, because that's how confident I feel. Okay, that's cocky, but that's the way I always felt when I went into an exam. I'm going to nail this. Okay, and it's because I put in the time. You got to put in the time. If you fail an exam a couple times and you're like, I just can't pass that thing, you need to stop and reevaluate your commitment to the studying, because chances are you're studying wrong. You cannot just grab a book and read it and think you're going to pass an exam. Now, you might be that lucky few that tests very well, but most people have that problem that they're not going to do well on it by just flipping through the pages of a book. Okay, looking at a few illustrations here. Okay. So when you go through that first wave, you're in an exam environment right now, but you want to study the same way. Then you go to the next wave. In the next wave, you're going to start by answering the questions that you marked that you didn't answer in the first wave. Also, keeping in mind that if your exam is what's called a combination exam, where it has both calculations and code knowledge lookup questions on it, that you're going to skip the calculation questions until the last wave, because you're going to need that extra time, okay? Unless it's such a simple Ohm's Law question that you can answer in that first minute on the first wave, just go for it. But if it can't be answered in 1 minute, you mark it, you go on to the next wave. So then the second pass that you're going to go through, mostly on these electronic tests, you can go back to all the ones that you've checked, and you can go back to the beginning, and now you get to spend focused time on that question again. Now, one thing you'll find out is in that first wave, you might have found an answer to a question that you skipped or marked earlier while you were searching for the other one in your minute or so that you have to do your search, that you end up coming back going, oh, daggone, that was the answer. And if you know it now, mark it and move on. You just bought yourself a little bit more time. You already wasted a minute on it, but you bought yourself a little bit more time. But anyway, answer those questions in the second wave that you didn't answer in the first wave. Okay. Now, this varies depending on the length of time of your test, but in the second wave, if you still can't answer that question after a minute to a maximum of a minute and a half, leave it marked and go on to the next question. Don't dwell on it. Okay. So go on through there like that and just keep on going through and answer what you can. Now, third wave, any that you've marked that you have not answered, you do not leave that question unless you choose an answer, whether you're making an educated guess or even at this point, a wild ass guess, because you don't want to leave it. Because one thing is certain. If you guess, you still have a percentage chance of getting it right. Okay. If you don't do anything and you leave it blank or you run out of time, then you're 100% sure that that question is wrong. So in that third wave, you answer every question that you can answer. Whether you get to the end of the of another minute or a minute and a half at the third wave, trying to use up that time that you've built up, if you still cannot answer it after that length of time, then you're going to try to rule out the most obvious things that are wrong and you take a guess, okay? If you guess and pick one of them, you have a 25% chance of getting it right. If you eliminate one of them and you drop it down to three, then you have a 33% chance approximately of getting it right. If you narrow it down to two, because you get rid of two, obviously two that are totally bogus, then you have a 50-50 chance of getting it right, okay? So increase your odds. So again, that's just kind of a paraphrasing the wave method. I get in more detail about it if you go watch that video. But get used to that program, because when you get and sit in front of an exam, many people get nervous. There are people that test very well, and there are people that don't test well. And if you're a tester that doesn't test well, then you need to go in with a game plan. You have to have a game plan and how you're going to tackle this thing. Okay, so that is my recommendation. Now, when you're studying an exam question and you're dissecting it and you're taking your time during your study phase before the exam, this is where you're going to learn what is and what is not in the index. But it also helps your skills and in moving through the index. And it's just a repetitive style. We do things repetitively, we get better at it. So that's kind of one of those concepts here. So it might sound redundant when I talk about those things, but I'm actually training you to understand and how to build time. All right. Now, the third study thing that I will tell you is in your question, it sounds like when you read something, you're dwelling on the fact that maybe you don't understand the application, but you know what the code says. Well, this is something I tell people all the time. You need to challenge yourself. If you don't feel comfortable in motors, then you need to embrace motors. You need to do, you know, pick the things that are topics that you just don't understand and focus on that. Now, I won't say that's always the best option for an exam because, you know, you got to study a broad range of things for an exam, right? You can't just sit there and spend weeks focusing on motors, right? But in general, advice I give people is that if there's a topic in the code that you struggle with and you're like, I just don't understand healthcare facilities in 517 and there's some terminologies in there that they use, you know, and you're like, I don't understand what an isolated power system is. I just don't get it. Then I encourage you to research it. Get familiar with it. Tackle those things that are difficult for you. Don't run away from them. I hear all the time that electricians say, well, I'm just an electrician. I don't need to worry about code. Please don't be a fool. Please do not be a fool. And don't come at me with this stuff like, well, I'm a real electrician. I work in the field. I don't need to worry about that code. Look, stop. Just stop. You're looking stupid and you're ignorant if you're thinking that way. Yes, code is so important that you don't even realize that your installation is all about code. How you run that cable, how you install those boxes, the depth of those boxes, the gap around those boxes, the supporting of your cables, the securing of your cables, how you install that panel, what the height of the breakers are, the working clearance in front of it, things that you take for granted. Guess what? That's code. Just because you know it and you install it, you know code by doing it. The challenge to you is to become proficient in understanding the code more in depth, rather than sitting there and making comments about, I'm a real electrician, I'm a field electrician. Stop being dumb. A doctor has to learn to do a surgery. They have to continue to learn advancements in it. They have to, look, when a guy's operating on you, it doesn't matter whether they're first in their class or last in their class, they're still a doctor. However, the best doctors, the surgeons, the ones that you seek out right? With the reputation, things like that, are the best of the best. That's what you're looking for. When it comes to an electrical profession, why not embrace it as a trade? Too many people are messing around on job sites, acting a fool, posting the stupidest crap I've ever seen on TikTok. When in reality, you should be embracing yourself in your trade. This is your profession. This is what you do. How about learning the code? How about being proficient in it? How about not quoting stuff on things like, Trade Hounds and all this stuff, where people post the dangest thing as if it was gospel, only to have people come in and say, dude, where did you get that from? Well, I was told. Shut up. You never want to post what you were told. You want to post what you know. How about this? Here's a challenge to you. Every time you post something to somebody else and you tell them they're doing something wrong, or there's that's against code, or that's not right, or that wouldn't be allowed, how about you post a code reference to support you? And you notice why many people don't? Because they don't know code. Code is a minimum safety standard, whether you like that phrase or not, it is. And what that means is, if you build something and you install something to code, that is the minimally as safe application. Means that house is as minimally as safe, it meets the threshold, okay? If you want to go above that and beyond that, go for it. But it has to be at least that level. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing it just at that level. People say, hell no, I do above that. Good for you. All I care about is you meet code. That's all I care about. You want to go beyond that, go for it. But I want the bare minimums, okay? So soapbox over. But at the end of the day, hopefully that answered your question on some of the studying habits. Get familiar with things that you feel awkward about, uncomfortable about. Study with a plan. Get a hold of some good questions. Dissect those questions. It will move you in and out of the index and things like that. So hopefully that helped you with the question and how to study a little bit better. But other than that, that's probably the keys. Reading comprehension and get better at reading a question, dissecting it, understanding what is and what is not. And also remember that a lot of exams will give you questions that are based on trade knowledge. Okay, so you have to read a question. It's difficult for somebody who has very little trade knowledge to go into an exam and be successful. Now, you got those guys that are book smart, that they're just kind of go through the code, and they can answer it anyway, and they might pass, but they probably didn't have a clue with what the stuff is. You know, and there's a lot of people that's not the case. You have to learn what the different knowledge is, you know, what the different terminologies are. So spend some time in Article 100, really embrace it, understand the definitions, know where they're at. You know they're in Article 100 definitions. But again, get a hold of some questions and dissect them. Take as much time as you need on a question during your study phase to dissect every important thing in that question. Also, take those questions and practice dissecting what is fluff and what is important. That's a little exercise you can do. And I encourage you to do it because it's going to start making it pop out. I remember when I did a lot of plan review, and I was really, personally, I mean, no horn tooting here, but I was very proficient with doing electrical drawings. And it was because it's something like I could throw them down in front of me, and the stuff would just jump out of the page. So I was looking at what engineers would design, and I would go, that's not right. And it just, I don't know, I can't explain it. It would just jump out of the page. You could see it and know inherently that it was wrong. That wasn't a gift. That was a lot of time, practice, looking at it, identifying things. And again, people have a tendency to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. So it becomes very repetitious. Okay. It's not fancy for somebody like me to throw out all these code references. Dude, when you've been looking at it for 30 years, some things don't change. The same people making the same violations have been making them for decades. So it's not any special gift. You're going to do it too. The more you study the code, you're going to get it. And you're going to say, look at something and say, dude, that ain't right. That ain't right. So anyway, hopefully that helped you. I don't know if that gave you too many. That's, again, spend some time in it. Get a good study program. Really, don't just watch videos. Really try to read stuff and get good reading comprehension skills. Be able to dissect a question. Take your time flipping through the index And even when you find the answer, cross-reference it to see which other phrases in that question by going to the back and looking and see if under different phrases that you pick and see if it, anything in there matches the code section that you found the answer in. That's called cross-referencing. All of that will help you get more proficient on when you can, when you need to use the index and when you don't, because it's not the Holy Grail. It's not. Okay. All right, folks. Hopefully you got something out of that. And hopefully I answered your question. If I didn't, go on and send me a follow-up at paulabernathy.com. I'm more than happy to follow up to it. Anybody has any other question, please go to that website, submit your questions. I'd love to hear from you. Till next time, stay safe. God bless.